This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to the first episode of A Touchline Rant in 2023. It is episode 234. I am your host this week, Mitchell Gadd, and I'm joined by Luke Smalley this week. Say hello to our lovely listeners, Luke.
Hello. This is oddly familiar, despite the over a month break.
Are you feeling refreshed after the new year?
Well, to be honest, I'm still in hibernation mode at the minute, Mitchell. You wouldn't know this being in the sunny climes of Australia, but it is bollock freezing in the UK at the minute. Like, it is enough to kill a human being waiting on a train station. It's subarctic. Like, David Attenborough is going to... Well, he won't, he'll be dead. But in a few years' time, they'll be doing documentaries about it right now. It's a climate I'm not made for, so I hibernate away. I prefer it a nice balmy... Yeah, I think if it could be a nice balmy 22 on average, every single day of the year, with a nice light breeze, I think every single person in the UK would be happy.
Yeah, probably.
I think a nice average temperature where it's... You can get away with going out and staying out till reasonably late with a pair of jeans and a thin jacket with just a t-shirt or jumper, t-shirt, that sort of thing. Right now, it is Arctic. There are, honestly, there's polar bears, Mitch.
There's something about, as well, I think, a train station waiting on a platform. It always feels like it's colder there than it is anywhere else at that time.
Bus stops are the rainiest place.
Yes.
Bus stops are rainy. Train stations are cold.
Cold, yeah.
It's universal. This is stuff that these people would already know. They're
Blue
intelligent
planet.
People.
Going to be filmed. The next Blue Planet is going to be filmed there at Cardiff Central.
Cardiff Central. Honestly, especially when there's been like the rail strikes, you know, love the union, up the union, you know, support the strikes, people.
Exactly.
But when then I had to get the bus, which was fine. Takes a bit longer, but it still gets me where I needed to go. It rained every day that I had to get the bus. And at one point, the bus literally pulled in, let everyone off. We went to get on. He went, hang on, closed the door, and drove away. Didn't explain. not a single explanation, nothing. Just went, hang on. The door's closed. Off he went. Just like, what's going on?
Like, you could do that in your job. I'd love to be able to do that in your job. Maybe like you're in a meeting and like halfway through a meeting, you're like, hang on, and just walked out, you know? You're just like, that's it, I've had enough of this meeting. Or you're like halfway through an email and you're like, it just stops halfway through and like, hang on, thanks, kind regards, Mitch.
It's a good technique though with the email. I think you could adopt it in a way, because then obviously the intention would be that the person who receives the email is like, oh, they press send before they should have pressed send. And then they'll be sat there looking at their computer or they're just being like, surely I'll get a part two now. And it'll be like, sorry, click send before I should have. And just leave them waiting for weeks. It's got to be someone that you don't have a lot of contact with, but someone who you do have contact with on a semi-regular. So like someone in like accounts
Or yeah, something. I was going to say, it's got to be accounts. Yeah.
Someone in accounts so that you can just message them and then leave them waiting. And then even if they email you, don't reply. So they're literally, did he just die mid-email?
Just stop that. What's happened there?
But there's no part two. I've now emailed him. I can't. He hasn't given me his receipts. I've emailed him. He hasn't replied.
Still waiting for part two. Well, you know, I think that'd be great. A great thing to employ in your day-to-day work. I'd love to be able to do that. No explanation from the bus driver. Fantastic.
No.
Love it. Well, it is a lot warmer here. You'll be pleased to know. It's not
it Baltic. Feels warmer.
It's 29, 30 yesterday. Looking like it's going to shape up to be another lovely one. But enough of the weather. I tell you what, we've had a very dark, gloomy cloud over. This is a nice segue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dark, gloomy cloud over them for a while, and that's Everton Football Club.
Oh God.
Good,
great segue. Superb.
It is great, isn't it? It doesn't work as well when you say halfway through, this is a great segue.
No, I think it added to it. Because what you've done there is you've fronted up, haven't you? Basically, you've just gone, you've just gone all in. And gone.
Yes.
You've piled the pressure on yourself and then you've delivered. It's fine.
Yeah. I've taught myself up. I've given myself the big intro there. And
yeah, you flat-hand it, basically.
Frank Lampard was sacked as manager at Everton Football Club after the straw that broke the camel's back, which was that disastrous defeat at West Ham. Two massive losses, really, home to Southampton and then away to West Ham against clubs that are right down there with them. Poor performances as well. But there's a lot going on at the football club, isn't there? There was a lot of unrest amongst the support. As of time of recording, there's been a few names banded around. Looks like Dyche might be... We had a little joke where they were talking about the race for the Everton manager. You said it looked like Dyche... Maybe they're actually racing to be the Everton manager, which I like.
This is what it should be. Because what it does as well is it rules out all the weak ones, all the old school ones.
Yes. You know I mean?
Like,
if they take the test anyway, to be honest.
Big
yeah.
Sam gets the call and he puts it down. He says, Everton want me back. And he turns up and they're like, right, what you've got to do is it's cross country. Big Sam would die. Big Sam. It would literally.
Yeah.
He would like Everton more.
He wouldn't survive those country lanes, I tell you now.
He wouldn't get out the car, Mitch. He would not get out the car.
He'd stop at the services for Greg's and he would never leave.
That would be it. He'd just turn it. He would literally he'd just hang around. Big Sam. Oh, imagine Big Sam being made to race.
But then, God,
Dyche is going to have the advantage here. If do you know what I mean, over Bielsa, like I don't know why they're even talking to him, to be honest. But yeah,
are you talking about in the race? He's got the advantage, or actually,
I can't
what you're talking about the man, actual job at hand.
And way. This is the beauty of the idea. Of managers being brought in when they say like, the managerial race is on and you turn on Sky Sports News and you're like, why is Tommy Tuchel got a javelin?
I got this vision of wacky races and it's on like it's also because it could be on Sky Sports Football and Sky Sports Racing at the same time, couldn't it?
Imagine turning it and it's like it's a knockout style. And Pep Guardiola's dressed as like the King of Hearts in a inflatable.
And Rafa Benitez is Wario.
I want to take it one step further and suggest that actually clubs shouldn't be allowed to sack a manager. What they should be doing is trial by combat. in these sort of games. So they would have to, like, they bring for in this instance, they'd have brought Frank Lampard in and gone, listen, Frank, obviously, mate, we can't carry on. So we're taking you out, but you're not fully done yet. Yeah. You've got to, if you can beat Sean Dyche, and Sean Dyche is like, oh, like next to him while he's like stretching on the outskirts, being like, this is my chance.
If you can beat him on that rainbow level on Mario 64,
you get to coach, you get to manage the team the next game. And then if that doesn't work, we're bringing Marcelo Bielsa in, but you're playing chess.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Well, Dyche is the favourite, no matter what, whatever format there. Everton, you can do your own thing. Whatever format you want this battle, race, whatever, to be in, Dyche is in prime position. What do you make of it? Do you think, obviously, I know you think, we know your feelings on Lampard and that he shouldn't really be in a managerial position in the Premier League, at the very least.
He's Tim Sherwood with a private education. That's all he is.
What do you make of Everton Football Club then? Do you think that Dyche will, if it was Dyche or someone with who has got a decent, you know, he's got a decent pedigree, and I think he gets sort of discounted for jobs unfairly, because I think he can. I think unfairly his styles, this association of this style with like a battling football team and knocking it long. But I actually think he can be quite a pragmatic manager and play some nice stuff if he's got the right players in his side. But there's bigger problems at Everton, isn't there?
There is a lot of problems. Do you know the biggest thing for me with Everton is, name me one player in their squad that you go, oh, he's great, he's good. Like one player that is of a elite, even mid-table level Premier League team. Calvert-Lewin is the only one who comes close. And even he, I mean, he's never been linked away.
What about the goalkeeper? You found the goalkeeper? Pickford.
Pickford is an interesting one. I mean, ultimately, I think the answer to your question is no. No, I'm not. Because if Man United tomorrow signed Jordan Pickford, I'd be like, for fuck's sake, are you taking that? Do you know what I mean? And it's not going to happen because no one wants him. No. But then,
that's harsh, isn't it? No one wants him.
No, there's not a single human being in this world.
I think he's all right, but he goes through patches.
He does go through patches.
I think
maybe he's a bit overly harsh.
I think he's all right. I mean, he's definitely mid-table.
He's not shit.
Top half. But
you know what I mean? I do want to make perfectly clear my feelings when it comes to footballers, in that I don't like, you know, at no point am I saying he's shit. He's obviously elite. Obviously. So before anyone is like, oh, You can't be put. No, of course I'm not as good as Jordan Pickford. What are you fucking on about? He's a professional footballer. All the millions of people, all the millions of kids who want to be footballers, and the small percentage who make a living from it, are elite. I don't care. All these people, you know, it's like, oh, you only play for a mid-table Premier League club. Do you know how rare it is to even play for a fucking bottom of the table League Two side? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you're playing League Two football, your elite level.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's where I'm coming from. However, when you're judging that pool of talent, Jordan Pickford's not like a high end.
You're judging it in the Premier League world or the...
In the Premier League world, I can name you at least seven keepers, I reckon, that I would prefer. Maybe eight. I'm going to go eight Premier League goalkeepers I could name that I would prefer in my team.
This feels like a game. Do you want to play? Do you want to try and name eight that you feel about?
Okay, right, fine. Okay.
All right, go on. This is like that. What is it? Wipeout? Where they have to do that or whatever.
Okay, I've got a net. So eight keepers who I would prefer. In my... Okay, right, fine.
Let's do it. Fuck it. First show of the year.
Ramsdale.
Okay. You've gone with a. That's an interesting one you started with there.
I'm going Ramsdale.
You reckon Ramsdale's better than Pickford? Okay, yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I do. Edison and Alisson, obviously.
Okay, I'll give you those, yep.
Kepa. Sorry.
What did you say? Kepa.
Kepa.
I thought you said Pepper then. I was like, who's no. Kepa?
Sam Pepper. He was an ex-contestant in Big Brother.
Kepa. Again, that's an interesting one. Yeah. I don't agree with that, but there you go.
Dave De Gea.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, this is getting more difficult than I thought. Oh, do you know, I genuinely five. It's fine. I got another three in me. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I genuinely who I would prefer, David Raya.
Yeah. Okay.
I prefer David Raya. There's
a
couple
you missed. I think I would say a less controversial than some of the ones you named, but
Hugo Lloris.
Oh, I don't know. That's controversial now as well.
You see? Don't think that you would prefer Hugo Lloris over Jordan Pickford?
Well, ask me any time up until recently, I might have said yes. But Hugo Lloris recently has lost the plot.
Well, we've learned a few things tonight, you and I, listeners. When we've learned Mitch is fickle when it when it comes to his opinion on goalkeepers. No, I do get it, but I would suggest.
I know the point's been. I would say that actually the one I reckon who's in the given that I am fickle, we've just established, but and I think he should be England's number one is Nick Pope, but
I think
he's Nick had Pope a phenomenal season, and I know he did make that error for England when he came in, but I mean I just think he's got to be
been great. He's been great. Well, let's be honest about it. Okay, the Newcastle defence has been the best in the league. And I know I've got a history with Newcastle fans. So I say this with all sincerity.
Fences.
I'm extending an arm. I'm extending an arm across the bridge. What's the bridge called in Newcastle? The YI Bridge, what's it called? Ant and Deck.
I don't know. What's the bridge? Time. Is it something to do with time?
The fog on the Time Bridge. The fog on...
I don't think that's
going to
help.
I know. But anyway, I'm extending an arm. I'm saying Newcastle's defence have clearly been the best defence in the league this season. 100%. Yeah. And when you individually look at those players and you remove them from that unit that they've become... none of them stand out. No. Trippier is good, but you go, given his age, you know, he's not world class. You wouldn't put Trippier necessarily world class. Do you know what I mean? No one's suggesting he's the new Cafu. You've got Botman is just, he's a run of the mill sort of mid, you know, Dutch.
And look at Dan Byrne. I mean, like, that's not a glamorous signing. With all due respect to Dan Byrne, because he's been brilliant. And he works like that system that they are a unit that sort of are just greater than
the thing with Newcastle is yes they have spent money but they haven't gone out and done like what yet I'm going to throw a big yet in because it's bound to happen at some point yet they haven't gone out and splashed a ludicrous amount of money on massive players from the Premier League like Man City did and they bought big names. And brought a lot of them in. They've actually bought sensibly. They needed the areas that they've... And they've done well, but there's players who are there who have been there before. It's not like they're relying on brand new signings. They've been phenomenally good. But I think a lot of that is to do with Nick Pope, taking it back to goalkeepers. Mm. I think he's been great. I know that to get... a goalkeeper needs to know that the defence in front of him are going to be good and solid so that his job becomes easier. But the defence also need to know that they've got someone good behind them. And I think the sum is better than its parts.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what's happening at Newcastle, but they are bloody good.
I mean, well, I think... We did start off talking about Everton, but this is we can do whatever we want to do. But I think Everton, look, if Everton are looking at like the position that Newcastle are in, sort of back end of last season, then it isn't. Yeah. They, you know, Howe came in and he made a couple of, he's made some sensible signings, excuse me, but you still look at it and think they, you know, you would never imagine the turnaround. They are going to need not quite a turnaround of that proportion, but you do look at that Everton side and yeah, you think that they do, they probably need a bit more quality in there. And it, I think they've lost so many, I was like 5 home games already they lost, and usually their home form is what kind of takes them through. So it'll be interesting to see, but whoever takes on that job has got a big job, I think, to keep them up. They've got some tough games coming up as well. Their fixtures are not great.
Talking about Newcastle, just to bridge the gap with Gordon, see, is looking like he's on his way out. I mean, there's literally nothing about it that's an inspiring look that Everton squad. Like, it looks die. It looks in need of a rebuild. It looks in need of something. It needs something. I do think, though, despite what I know he seems to have split opinion, but I think Onana has been actually a really good signing in their midfield. I think he's actually, I think he does get about a bit.
He's got a bit of quality. I think the, and I'd say the other one who's come out so far this season have his head held high is Alex Iwobi. I think he's had a decent season. Yeah, Iwobi's been good. But their defence is like, it's not, I mean, Tarkowski and Cody, I mean, they don't concede as many as sides do down there around them, but they're, they're just lacking that teeth. They're lacking that striker, or that even that supply into Calvert-Lewin. If you remember when Calvert-Lewin was having that great season, you know, they had James Rodriguez was feeding him, and you know, Allen and Decore.
They've I mean, let's be fair to this team, okay, for a minute. So any Everton fans, you know, who may feel a little aggrieved, this is going directly to your ears, okay. Let's not forget, this is a squad that lost Richarlison in the summer. He's a huge player, both in terms of personality and talent. He's clearly, an elite level player. And they've been getting coached by fucking Frank Lampard. Do you know what I mean? It's that's going to do stuff to people. Like, some of them have probably got Stockholm syndrome. You know, they're crying because he's gone. They just believe in the hype. You know, it's going to have done things to people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, look what it did to Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Stay away. Stay away. Behave, you. Behave. Where has he gone? Well, let's move on. I think that's the time to move on from Everton. Let's move on to the top end of the table. Arsenal. They're still there. Arsenal's still there. They're sticking around. They won't go away. Big win. Huge, huge, huge win against Manchester United. Last Sunday, they're still in prime position.
I know. What do you reckon? Listen, so Jordan Lloyd, formerly of this chapel, I saw him before Christmas, so like sort of November. That he believes that they're going to win the league. He's now, so he's convinced.
He's all in.
He's all in. He reckons that they're going to win the league, and there's still that little part of me though, which goes, yeah, but it's Arsenal. I've been here before with Arsenal, where everyone's going, Arsenal are really good this year. It does feel different. Granted, they're still there and they're putting performances in of the highest quality. But they're Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? So they can fall off. I've said it a million times. They start decent. They drop off. They get really good. They drop off, finish about sixth.
That would be a drop off if they finish sixth from here.
That yeah, they be, would definitely won't finish it. They're definitely going to finish top four, but I think
they'd have to lose pretty much every game, I think, if they were going to finish it. That would be quite a spectacular drop-off.
Imagine if they finish
drop-offs.
May have just called the greatest drop-off in footballing history if it happened.
If they come sixth, that would be mad. Arsenal are 5 points ahead of, I'm just looking at 5 points ahead of Manchester City. They have a game in hand. Their goal difference is plus 29, Man City is plus 33. So there's not much in it. If they win that game in hand, then they'd be pretty, they'd be within a few goals, you'd think, of Man City. So, but they have got to play each other twice. First meeting's coming up very soon.
Man City.
I still think City will pip them to the title. I'd love to see Arsenal win it. It's great. I think when you break up and you get a new contender and a new winner, and it's been a long time since Arsenal won it. Was it the Invincibles that were the last time they won it? Was it 2004? The last time they won it? It was a long
time. Yeah, potentially. I've tried to block it out.
I would love to see them win it. But I still think the two games against City are... Arsenal will look at it as a chance to pull further away or at least keep them at arm's length. But, you know, you still, like, from a City point of view, you know, you want to have that opportunity to peg them back and all, not quite put it back in your hands. I think they would still be faster when their game in hand, 8 points in front, so they could lose both games to City and technically and still mathematically win the league. But I think that City, I don't know, Pep's comments as well were really interesting, weren't they, after the Tottenham game, wasn't it, where he said he didn't recognise his team and that they were too complacent. And, like, you know, it's very rare for Pep to, because if you remember back to him, it was interesting, because you remember the first Amazon documentary, All or Nothing, and there was that clip that was also on the trailer where he said in the dressing room, he's like, he goes, out there I'll always defend you, but in here I'll tell you the truth. But it was, and he always backs his players. You remember he also, Claudio Bravo's debut against Man United, and he called it one of the best debuts he'd ever seen. Like, he always backs his players, doesn't he, in public, no matter how ridiculous it is. But for him then to come out and then be in a press conference and then speak to Sky after the game and be like, not good enough, not happy, you know, he's like, he was using that moment as a, I'm going to say this isn't flipping acceptable, otherwise we're going to lose this championship. So maybe it's what was required.
I think that the City have got an interesting problem right now, because I genuinely, when you look at them, yes, I know they've signed Julian Alvarez, and yes, I know they've signed Haaland, that he didn't cost much in transfer fee. But they lost Sterling, they lost Jesus, you know, they lost
Zinchenko.
Zinchenko.
Someone said, before I forget that, Pep was so bored of winning the Premier League that I can't remember, I read this, that he created a new manager in Arteta and gave him two of his players just to make it more interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to backfire on him. I do.
Which I thought was great.
I can't remember, I read
that earlier in the season, but I thought that was brilliant.
It's interesting. It's just interesting. They've lost a decent amount of players. I'm sure I'm missing someone that they lost it from, but anyway. And it looks like, they're just... City, whereas they used to look like a team where it was even their bench could win, they still have got a very, very good squad. However, when you look at the full picture and you think Bernardo Silva's ageing, will they want to... I think what we're seeing now is the byproduct of having a player like Erling Haaland at your club, because he will have cost a lot of money. I know everyone went, he was a bargain. Yeah, but we don't know. How much did his agent get? How much did he get as a signing on fee? How much were the legal fee? I mean, it's probably double the value of the transfer. How much are his wages? I bet he's on an extortionate amount of money. I bet he's on the entire capital of Greece a week. Do you know what I mean? It's unreal. So And I think having to get rid of players, because it looks like Bernardo Silva is going, it looks like Gundogan is being linked away as well. I mean, he's also, like, what's happening at the back, Pep?
I know.
Like, we know Pep listens, all right?
Yeah.
And we're recording this on Jose Mourinho's 60th birthday. So Pep, you know, we'll call it the Jose special because he loves it. What is happening at the back? Ruben Diaz is not playing. One week he's got 1 week Walker's playing for a half. Then Akanji's coming on at right back. You're like, Nathan Akai. When did Nathan Akai become a thing again? Why, when, like, he's a future Everton player if I've ever seen one. Why is he?
Yeah. What, and then Cancelo, what's happened there?
What's happened to Cancelo? Like... Yeah, Cancelo, it looks like Icardi's turned up to see his missus when he's been out. Do you know what I mean? He's got that look of dread.
Just let off it. Wasn't he dropped by Portugal in the World Cup as well?
He's been dropped by literally everyone. He's been dropped by the club, his
missus,
his missus for Icardi, his record.
His missus and his girlfriend.
Yeah, and his girlfriend. He's getting it worse than Colo Torre. Right now. Who, incidentally, is just become the new favourite for the Everton manager's job. No, he hasn't.
He's not. No, stop it. He's gone through one of those, do you know, when those power-ups on the Mario, where you, those little things on the floor, and it makes your cart go faster. He's just overtaken Bielsa and Dyche coming into the last
No, it's Colo Torre in the car, but his face is permanently that one of the picture of him that girl took of him getting out of the shower at her house. That he was that girl that he was allegedly knocking off.
I feel like
find a point on it.
He was. I'm glad you said allegedly, because I feel like there's already been at least two moments I felt like we're in danger of being served.
No, you'll be fine. it's an interesting one.
But we still think they're going to win the league, right? We still think the City are going to win the league. You still think the City are going to win the league as well, don't you?
I think someone's got to win it. It might be.
Is that? Someone's got to win it, yeah.
Someone's got to win it. I think this might be Arsenal's Leicester City season. And by that, yeah. I mean... Not taking anything away from Leicester City at all, because that achievement was phenomenal. However, if you remember, all of those other teams had shitty seasons.
They were terrible. All of
like Spurs finished second.
Yeah,
that's how bad the league. If Spurs are finishing second, it's a shit league. I'm sorry. there's no excuse. Who finished second? Spurs.
Well, I mean, you're in the league three.
Yeah.
No.
Was it them and West Brom getting relegated? Was that it then?
Was it what? Leicester, Spurs, West Brom? No, what? Arsenal went too. What? And they played each other twice, not once. What? And Spurs played away as well. They didn't play all 38 games at home. Are you kidding me?
This is what I mean. So if Leicester are first and Spurs are second, it's a shit league. You've got that. It's got that feel about it, because Chelsea are all over the shop. Like, Chelsea are having a fucking shocker.
I watched that Chelsea Liverpool game, and I was like, this is I might go to the Garden Centre instead of watch this game. And then I watched the game, It was 11 p.m. at night, so I really was considering going to the Garden Centre at 11 p.m. at night in Australia. It wouldn't have been open, but
the
game, and I wish I had gone to the Garden Centre and waited outside the gates for it to open, because it was dire. And I don't think anyone.
Oh, it was awful.
Surprised. I don't think anyone's. But that's it. You'd normally Liverpool, Chelsea. Fucking, this is going to be great. Liverpool, exactly, Super like Sunday. That. Blah 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 blah. Whatever you want to say. But no one was fucking excited for it. You watched the game. No one was surprised it was shit. And everyone was like, I'm never going to get that time back in my life.
No, it was awful. It was an awful game. And you know, the thing is that game, regardless of who's in it, that game can make or break your weekend. Because Because if you've got a good Saturday, so you've got no late plans on Saturday, all your plans are like in the afternoon, and you get to watch that game of football, and it's a good game of football. The weekend's a good is a winner already. I'm telling you. If it's your own team, it's even better. If your team win the early kickoff on a Saturday, it's the best feeling in the world. The only way that it's better is if then you also have a good week on fantasy football. They're the but it's phenomenal feeling.
Oh, it sets you up, doesn't it?
This was like giving me AIDS. This game, I've gone in going, is it going to be a good weekend? Right, I've got HIV. Brilliant. Do you know what I mean? It was awful. It was horrific. It was just the worst way of starting a weekend. I want my money back.
Yeah. So you think it's one of these crazy seasons? Liverpool, Chelsea is a mid-table match. Brighton. I mean, you can't even rule Brighton out for a late charge for the... I say late, still a while to go, but a charge for the Champions League places.
Ridiculous.
And so it is kind of that bizarro landfill, if that happens, I suppose. Newcastle probably going to get a Champions League spot, which we might have to get used to now that they've got...
Mate, I am telling you this now. If we finish this season and Arsenal win it, and Brighton and Newcastle finish third and fourth, I might be done with the sport. I might, because that's just horrific. We're short of time, but
yeah, can I would love it. It'd be amazing. I'm just gonna. I'm keeping all those fans on the side. See, I think it'd be great. Mixed up a bit.
Something else for the Everton fans, if any of them stuck around. If any of them, you know, they Duncan Ferguson. Duncan Ferguson has been made Forest Green Rovers man. There's something extremely funny about this. Duncan Ferguson is not a vegan. Now, the rule is...
Do you know that for a fact? Is that prediction? He's definitely not a vegan.
He's not vegan. Speaking as a vegetarian, I sort of half know.
You can sense, can you?
Yeah. That? Do you know what I mean?
You've got that vegan eye, yeah?
Yeah, I've got that vegan eye about me. I just know that he is not vegan. So they eat, as someone on Twitter pointed out to me today, and I'm assuming...
Ferguson eats burglars.
Yeah, he does eat burglars. Someone pointed out to me that you only have to be vegan at work. You don't have to be vegan in your personal life. Which then has got me thinking, imagine being the security guard. Imagine if Duncan Ferguson turns up to training and he's at the gate and there's a security guard there. He's like, "Hiya, Dunk." And he's like, "Have you brought a packed lunch in?" He's like, "I have, yeah." Is he going to be brave enough to go, "I'm going to need to have a look at that, Duncan.
Open up that sandwich."
And this is—it's just opened up a wider world to me of question. If you have to eat vegan food on site at Forest Green Rovers, do they force you to eat at the canteen? And if they don't force you to eat at the canteen, does that mean that they have to search your packed lunch to make sure it's vegan? Just like Harry, mate, you've put mayo on it, and he's like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, I forgot. It was early. It's 7 a.m. Just let me in." They're like, "You know the rules. You know the rules. So you either eat at the canteen or you go home, but you will be late for work." What's Harry going to do, Mitch? These are questions that I need to know the answer to.
I feel like it's a separate podcast to a deep dive. We need some Forest Green Rovers fans on. Anyone who's in the know with the club, anyone who works for the club, tweet us.
Anyone. I need to know if... they search packed lunches at Forest Green Rovers, or can you eat meat on site? Because I've been told that you have to be vegan there. What's going on, Mitch? Honestly,
poses lots of questions, doesn't it? One to ponder over. I think that's a good moment to end on. A food for thought, literally food for thought.
Tofu for thought.
Much. Yeah, thank you very much for joining me this week, Luke. Thank you for all our listeners to join us.
It's good to be back. It's good to flex the pod muscle, isn't it?
It is, like muscle memory. It's coming back to us. We'll be much better next week, we promise.
Right.
Ta-da! Thanks very much.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.